So good to be with you all today. I'm Bill. I did this work with a team, and unfortunately I'm the only one that could make it this time around. But Heather, who's our lead person with our community projects, actually is out on maternity leave, so she has a very happy reason not to be here. I don't have any disclosures. This is my learning objective for the session. So let me give you a little bit of background about our projects that we do at Einstein. It's part of the third year clerkship that's required for all 180 or so students that we have in a class, and we have a four-week clerkship in family medicine, and as part of that, we feel all the students should learn how they can be involved in the health of the community that they're serving. The clerkship has actually involved training in community health for almost 20 years, and it exposes the students to various issues and competencies, including health literacy, community health problem analysis, and intervention development, and really thinking about the physician's role in the community. It's a brief experience, so it's only 6 afternoons of a 4-week family medicine clerkship. Historically, we used to actually have 6 weeks, so it used to be more, we had more time involved. And the students historically were also in pairs at 1 of 8 community partner sites. It mostly, because of the time constraints, involved health education. And it was in different sites, including schools, clinic waiting rooms, and community-based organizations. Of note, it's the only required community-oriented education that they get during their 4 years of medical school in our program. And all students are required to do it. So this is data from the graduation questionnaire, for those of you that are familiar with it, from the AAMC. You can see that in a lot of subject areas that are related to community health, the students at Einstein feel like they're getting the appropriate, whatever that means, they're getting the appropriate amount of instruction in these areas, with behavioral science being a notable exception where the students feel like they're not getting enough, and I agree with them. When we drill down to annual surveys that we've done with the students over the years, we have data going back at least 5 years. We can see that we're not actually doing as well as it seems on the sort of exit survey that the students do when they graduate from school. So for our specific clerkship, there are different aspects of the community project, including the things that you can see up here, where maybe only 2/3 of the students rate it as a positive experience. So that's great, but you have a substantial minority that's relatively unhappy with the experience. And this goes to what the previous speaker was saying, is whether it makes sense to have all of the students doing this or some subset, because it can be very challenging when not everybody's on board. You can see that most of the students, though, do feel like they're meeting the learning objectives. These are some of the student comments from past surveys, and this gives you an idea of why we wanted to delve deeper into this and what I'll call a needs assessment, although one of our reviewers suggested that we should just call it a program evaluation, so I'll throw that out there. You can see the first one is about one of our former community site partners, which is a juvenile detention facility. The student is very positive about it, but we do unfortunately have students who, despite very clear LCME requirements for our accreditation that we should be doing interprofessional education, and we're not. Some students are notably hostile towards this. And then the last one, I felt even though it's a little sharp, I think they do have a valid issue in terms of the amount of time that they have available and what they can accomplish. You can see one of the students was very thoughtful and put a lot of, when they were filling out their evaluation form at the end of the month, they came up with a whole structure. They want continuity over the year. I'll get into that in a little bit more depth. They want the first group to do a needs assessment, the second group to pilot something, the next group to develop a curriculum, and the follow groups to teach, and then the last group to evaluate. I put this up as an example because this is a structure that we ended up trying to implement for this year. After I get more into the weeds on our evaluation. So the methods of our needs assessment. So we wanted to see what's working and not working about these community projects within the family medicine clerkship at our medical school, and what would we really need to do to make them better as an educational experience and as something that could potentially have more impact for the community partners that we work with. As I mentioned, it's a 4-week rotation, so the student, there are 12 rotations over the year, and the students are only with us for 4 weeks, and then there's a new group of 15 or 16 students that comes in each month. So we did some more in-depth surveying of students, our community project site advisors, and our faculty. And so in addition to survey, we did focus group sessions to explore the survey results. And as I mentioned, we do have a survey, sort of an exit survey that the students do at the end of every month. And so we have that on an ongoing basis. We get an idea of how the students feel about meeting the objectives and also the quality of the sessions. But starting in last academic year, we added items to compare pre and post the restructuring that we've undergone this year about the quality of supervision, which came out from our focus groups as a particular issue, and graduate questionnaire items, because we can't wait a year and a half or however long it's going to be to get that data back in terms of what they're feeling about the experience when they graduate. So here are some of the results that we came out with. Not a great response rate, so I'll just start with that. Particularly the students, you know, not as many students as we would like out of the number of students that we were trying to survey, but most of our site advisors at our community project sites were answered, and our core faculty and an additional community member who's been a past advisor for the projects. And the group sessions involve similar people, but again, not as many students as we would have liked. These are some of the strengths that came out, which kind of align with what we knew. The students really did appreciate the collaborative teaching and learning with their peers in their pairs, and they felt they achieved objectives around communication with communities. That's up for debate. But the students felt good about it. They achieved the objective about presenting information about a community health problem, which I think is valid because they did a presentation at the end of the month on their work. And they felt positive about working with community members. I think I went in the wrong direction. So some of the assets that came out of the groups, the site advisors at our community partners actually feel like there's a real benefit to having the students there with them. Although it's been hard for us to measure in the past, so we're not really sure whether we can confirm that or not. And student opinion is mixed, though. They feel like they're spending such a short amount of time there, they're dubious about their impact, so it's interesting to see that disconnect. And everybody around the table felt that it was good for community relation building, which is great, but then you worry that it just ends up being sort of a marketing tool rather than a successful intervention. And then students felt that it was great that they got exposure to the community, appreciated particular populations, understood social determinants, and promoted some skills with the underserved. And the site advisors felt that it served that as well. There are a lot of weaknesses. Students have a lot of struggle connecting this to their clinical work. This is, you know, so only half the students found that said that these aspects were positive. The students didn't like the bus tour. There are a lot of issues with that. We had a change in staffing. There were worksheets that we had around community-oriented primary care and self-reflection that weren't functioning very well. And even our supervisory meetings, we would have a joint supervision meeting with the site advisor out at the community site, meeting with our director of community health at Einstein, and then meeting with another faculty member to go over the aspects of the project, but not really seem to be functioning very well as far as the students were concerned. And as well, to a lesser extent, the site advisor. A lot of the challenges that came out of the groups, just the brief amount of time, lack of continuity across the 12 rotations of the year, lack of a measurable impact, and the issues with site supervision. Something that we're thinking about, the community site advisors really should be faculty, but they haven't historically been, but we do basically faculty development with them. And community perceived challenges are inadequate student preparation for community work, which is always challenging and something about the larger curriculum, given the amount of time that we have. People did across the board suggest more continuity from month to month, access to past materials, and a long-term intervention rather than a sort of more hit-and-run model, which is what we had in the past with just a four-week parachuting in. So, you know, everybody involved agreed about the kind of problems that we had, including supervision, the short time frame, and sort of the fragmented nature. But people were still optimistic about contributing to understanding the need of diverse populations and supporting health in local communities. So I just want to tell you a little bit about what we did for the restructuring for this year as a result of gathering this information. And we made modifications mainly focused on enhancing the supervision and trying a longitudinal structure. And it's a work in progress. We're about halfway through the year now. So we really wanted to restructure the community health interventions with a cyclical structure to really prepare the students better for addressing community health needs and also provide enhanced instruction around communication and analyzing community health problems. We revised our learning objectives with the help of our community partners and the students that were in our focus groups. You can see here around communication, analytic methods, looking at community assets and resources that was mentioned in earlier presentations. The students, they're in their clinical practice, and they say, oh, the patient's going to leave the hospital. I have no idea what's out there beyond the walls of the institution that I work in. And so we all felt that was a major piece of it. And discussing the role of determinants of health. We actually decreased the number of projects down to 4 to have larger teams. We felt like some of this was helpful in social pressure. So when students are in pairs, one of them might be really not interested at all, and that can really torpedo the experience for their partner. Whereas when they have 5 students, usually 3 or 4 of them will be really gung-ho and interested in the project, and the other person, for better or worse, will be dragged along and can't really scuttle the project because they're lukewarm about it. We implemented the longitudinal structure, which I'll talk about a little bit more in the next slide, and we really restructured our initial orientation. There's a briefer introduction to social determinants of health, which I know the students need more on in general, but they get it sort of hands-on during the project, so we didn't think they needed it in a didactic session as much. The tour, now because we only have 4 sites, we can include all of them. So instead of just seeing a sampling of 1 or 2 sites and different neighborhoods in the Bronx, we go to each site that all students are working on so they see what each other's projects involve. They're very health-oriented, and that we used to have more things like schools and other kind of stuff. It's a day program for people with severe mental illness, substance abuse treatment program, a nursing home for people with HIV/AIDS, and a federally qualified community health center. And then the project overview is focused more on what are they doing for that phase of the project and looking at the handoff from the previous group so they know where they're going. We also tried to streamline the supervision. We have weekly check-in meetings with the site advisor, which they were kind of doing already, but we built out a structure on our online course software where the students put notes, their meeting minutes, basically. They post them in a discussion board so everybody can see them on the team, and the next group that comes in can see what the previous meetings talked about, and also the site advisor can go back to those notes when they're doing their evaluation at the end of the month to really see whether it agrees with what their impression was of how the students performed. We also have the director of community health outreach doing bi-monthly meetings. They were doing meetings throughout the month, and we made sure that there's the orientation at the beginning, there's a meeting in the middle that's scheduled into their time, and then the wrap-up at the end used to be everybody doing a sort of dog and pony show, 15-minute PowerPoint presentation about what they did during the month. Very dry, very little interaction, unfortunately. There were good presentations, but not necessarily the best use of time. And so we really focused the wrap-up on self-reflection, which they also enter into our course management software, so it's a treasure trove of information for us on how the projects are going, and then share what their experiences have been to sort of cement what they're going to do with it going forward. The evaluation now has always had a component where the site advisor for the site evaluates the students as a team. And that's basically involving their activities over the month. And then the clerkship faculty evaluate their handoff document. So instead of doing a presentation at the end, we have them do a 2-page document that summarizes, you know, these were our objectives for the month. This is what we did. These are the barriers that we faced. These are our suggestions for the priorities for next month to keep moving the project forward. And that's what they get evaluated on. So this is, I'm pretty close to done, but this is our longitudinal structure. You've seen, there are 100 different variations of this kind of model, but something that probably a lot of you are familiar with. They, in the early part of the year, those are the 12 rotations along the bottom. In the early part of the year, the first few rotations, they're working on the needs assessment. Then they work on planning, both the intervention and the evaluation. Then they work on implementing, then doing the evaluation, and then figuring out sustainability and or advocacy around a particular issue that they're working on. One example right now is we're trying to figure out how to do advocacy around the new treatment for Hep C for patients that are at the methadone treatment program, because a lot of them are getting denied coverage because it's so insanely expensive, as many of you know. So that's sort of a snapshot of what we're doing in the community projects and how we've revised it based on the needs assessment that we did. And hopefully we'll have some data at the end of the year that we can present to you all in the future. Yeah, so this thing that we had them put together, which is a handoff document, we gave them a structure of how to fill it out, and the team does it, and they put it together over the course of the rotation and then finalize it, and then they post it to our online course management software. And then part of the work that we do during the initial orientation at the beginning of each new month is go over with the team the handoff from the previous month, to make sure that everybody's on the same page of what the meaning of it was, any gaps in there, and you know, anything that's ambiguous, and what the priorities should be. We also have another folder that's a repository for any, it's an archive of all other documents, like if they had different versions of the survey, the raw data that they collected, any kind of stuff like that is available. Well, I mean, this is part of the challenge. It's carved out of our family medicine rotation. We don't take time away from any of the other rotations, and we're a department of family and social medicine. This is feels core to what we try to impart to the students. But also having the shortest rotation of any of the specialties, it's very hard to have this time carved out. We recently underwent an in-depth review of our rotation in preparation for the LCME accreditation visit that's coming next month. And they said, you know, you have these this minority of students who vociferously oppose this experience. And it's going to come up during the LCME visit. Have you thought about dropping it from your rotation? And we said, well, right, that would make our lives a lot easier, but it wouldn't be mission aligned. You know, if you want to go to the other course directors and convince them that they're going to have to give up time so you can have a longitudinal project that the students are involved in over the all 4 years, we are all for that, and we will, you know, give it away with, you know, a lot of happiness, but that hasn't come to pass. There's another question in the back.
Do you have any particular approach that you're using or any tips for mining that reflection work for the
student? There are good ladders of reflection, like reflective practice. Like if you want to get an idea of, you know, where people are, like are they just, you know, in the very starting level of saying like, oh, this is how I feel about what happened, versus saying like, oh, this is how I feel about it, this is how it's relevant to my practice, and this is what I'm going to do to improve on this in the future. So you can do that kind of evaluation, but then the other stuff that we usually use are different qualitative methods, just like, you know, coding and coming up with thematic analysis. are we out of time?
I just had a technical question. What's the course management?
We use Tusk, which comes out of Tufts. They have like an open source course material, and you can, which free things are never free. Like it's you have to have somebody in house to manage it and all that kind of stuff, and you have to build a module. I did a bunch of the sort of tinkering with it to make it work for this, because it wasn't really set up for it. I mean, a lot of these issues are tied up with sort of admissions procedures and, like, you know, the cost of medical school tuition and all these kinds of things. It's like, we're not, you know, it's also, you have to think about who's going to medical school these days compared to 30 years ago. It's not the same. So we're up against challenges in terms of demographic shifts. I guess maybe we have time for one more, or...